Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 to 13. Here are two intriguing sections, which have never proved entirely easy to interpret. Yet they're very characteristic of Christ's teaching, and they stick in the mind and memory. What then is here? So far, we with the disciples have been taught about prayer in its fundamental nature. It's about the Father giving in response to his children's asking. I suggest that verses 5 to 10, often called the friend at midnight, is all about our asking, and that verses 11 to 13 are all about the Father's giving. First, let's listen once again to verses 5 to 10. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open." Here is a story about the commitments of friendship. A commitment accepted by one friend and refused by the other. When friend number one arrives at the door, tired and hungry, friendship demands a welcome and a late supper. In a world without home freezers and late night shops, an empty larder means a quick dash to a friendly neighbour. But there's more. With travelling often hazardous, not least at night, and with few lodging opportunities, hospitality was a very strong social obligation in Jesus' day. Something known to everyone, including the friendly neighbour next door. Then comes the shock. It seems that no obligations count for anything at that late hour. A firm refusal to get up and help is bluntly given. So what's to do? Well, desperation resorts to the only way left, an equally firm refusal to go away. It's shameless, of course, but proves extraordinarily effective. We may smile at the hammering at the front door as it goes on, but not so the householder. With a very bad grace, the door is unlocked and the bread handed over. I suppose you could call it a success, yet it's been an uncomfortable business. Honouring one friendship has left another in tatters. Further, as a pattern, it has not been unlike dealing with the familiar gods of paganism for whom their own comfort was paramount. Everyone knew you couldn't expect any attention from them without offering a sizable bribe. After all, the gods were not no different from us. Why should they bother? By contrast, the Heavenly Father's commitment to his children is very different. Apparently, his door is always open and a generous invitation given. Ask, seek, knock. For those who love the Father's Son, access to the Father's presence is freely granted. No need to cajole him to attend to our cries for help. In reality, as we're soon to learn, it's the other way around. He has to persuade us to come, and for rather disturbing reasons soon to be explained. What then shall we say to the customary interpretation of this little story? I have on my shelves an old book on the parabolic teaching of Christ by A.B. Bruce, 1883, 5th edition. Bruce struggles manfully with this quasi-parable, named by him the selfish neighbour. Here, in a slightly involved sentence, he puts the problem. I quote, "When we come to apply the parable to the case of prayer addressed to God, it appears to lack cogency as a persuasive to perseverance for want of a parallelism in the circumstances," unquote. Which, being interpreted, means that it lacks a portrayal of a reluctant father prepared to give in to repeated battering at his door as the price of getting rid of us. Does this mean, then, that boldness, persistence, and shamelessness in prayer is ruled out? On the contrary. But it depends what we mean by such concepts. I recall an old outline on the Lord's Prayer in Matthew that went like this. Don't be a hypocrite, verses 5 and 6. Don't be a heathen, verses 7 and 8. Don't be a humbug, verses 14 and 15. Now, it's the heathen reference that is to the point for us. Remember, they think they will be heard because of their many words. Raw paganism has endless examples of this. One thinks of the all-day shootout of the Baal prophets in Elijah's day, with its yelling, leaping, and ecstatic prophesying, blood on the floor. It's a prayer marathon that repels us and is ignored. That's religious fanaticism, and it's always had an appeal to some. But we ought not to overreact. False zeal does not rule out spending a day in prayer with other people. It did not stop Elijah persisting in prayer for divine intervention with such great effects, James 5, verses 16 to 18. And to plug away in prayer for people and projects that God has laid on our hearts is to follow an apostolic example. Even so, there is a shameless persistence that's out of order. I witnessed it very occasionally among businessmen used to getting their own way. There would be a marshalling of prayer worldwide, as though the vast number of people praying would compel an answer. The result of this was misery, until a measure of repentance and good sense brought an acceptance of the Father's will, whatever it might be. In one case, death did come, and much sorrow as a result, but trust had brought calm and peace. The truth is that this open door encourages us to be unashamed and to come again and again. Why fail to take God at his word? With such promises, why not ask, seek, and knock? What this little story does is to remind us of an everyday reality, that faced with an emergency beyond our ability to cope, we don't hesitate to seek help and to persist until we find those who can and will do what is required. And now we are children of God, with a Heavenly Father willing and able to hear and help according to his wisdom and love. What a great incentive to intercede for others as for ourselves. And what a reproach if we don't.